This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Jobs, doorknobs, and hobnobbing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Signs point to some sagging numbers on Wall Street today as we begin the second quarter. More job losses and some construction numbers on tap for today, and that's all having an effect on the markets. The Dow is down exactly 100 points at this hour, about 1.3%. The Nasdaq down about 28, nearly 2% there. And the S&P 500 shares down about 12.5 points, about 1.5%. Asian stocks were mostly mixed. European stocks are off by about 1%. The FTSE's down about 1% at this hour. Let's chat for a moment with Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joining us from New York. Jeremy, we got one report from payroll heavy hitter ADP that says more than 740,000 private jobs were cut in March. 742 to be exact. Not exactly sitting well on Wall Street, eh?
That's right, Steve. More bad news. And if this job report lines up with the number coming from the Labor Department on Friday, that would be absolute evidence that we are not at the bottom of this economy, even if we are at the bottom of the stock market, which some people think we are.
Jeremy, I can't help but think, though, that this big meeting going on in the UK is playing on markets, too.
Yeah, that's right. And the underlying issue every day, no matter what the data that's coming out of Washington is, what's going to happen to fix the banking system and get the economy back on track? And certainly investors are watching London today to see if these G20 leaders are going to come up with some kind of a solution for that. I spoke just a few moments ago with Ted Weisberg of Seaport Securities here in New York.
Today, of course, a new month, a new quarter, it's going to be business as usual, and the focus perhaps is going to be what's going on in Europe at the summit, the G20 summit, to see if anything positive comes out of that. But there's not a whole lot out there right now to be excited about.
Of course, there are a few things for investors to focus on. One is construction spending. That number comes out in just a few minutes, and we'll also get some data on pending home sales.
All right. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson in New York. Jeremy, thank you.
You're welcome.
And speaking of the G20, the streets of London today are awash with people and protests.
One solution! Revolution!
World financial and political leaders have gathered in the British capital. Crowds are in the street mocking them and pretty much everything else. They don't like capitalism. They don't like bailouts. You name it, they are screaming about it. Inside, there's a bit more conciliatory tone coming from President Obama. Here's our European correspondent, Stephen Beard.
The president said the world is facing the most severe economic crisis in 60 years. He called on the G20 to reject protectionism and work together. The president played down reports of deep divisions between the 20 leaders.
This meeting will reflect enormous consensus about the need to work in concert to deal with these problems. The separation between the various parties involved has been vastly overstated.
Obama said every country taking part in the summit had accepted the principle of stimulus packages. That, he said, was the crucial issue, not differences over the level of stimulus. And he denied European claims that the U.S. is soft-pedaling on the need for new financial regulations.
Tim Geithner, who's sitting here today, went before Congress and proposed as aggressive a set of regulatory measures as any that have emerged among G20 members.
Nevertheless, French President Nicolas Sarkozy said this morning that France and Germany fear the summit won't crack down on financial abuses. He's threatening to walk out if the summit doesn't produce much tougher regulations. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
You're You're listening to The Morning Report on Wednesday, April 1st, 2009, at marketplace.org. The jobless problem is a global one, and in China, the concern is not just unemployed factory workers, but college graduates. About a quarter of the 5.5 million people graduating college this year are not expected to find a job, and that has political leaders worried about social stability. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
3 months to graduation, and college senior Fang Meihui is still fishing for a job. No bites, so she blows off some steam at a karaoke bar. She's rapping with friends near the campus of Fudan University. These students have spent their lives riding a wave of economic growth in China. Now, they're about to be dumped into an employment desert. 12% of graduates here are jobless. Here's her classmate, Zhu Xi.
My dad's generation, it fought for everything. Jobs, satisfaction, it's in their bones, not us. We have food, toys, our folks bought us computers. And we now have to hunt for a job? We're not used to this.
Students like Zhu are part of a China-wide college enrollment glut. A decade ago, universities here jacked up enrollment to help smooth out a prior recession, and campuses have overflowed ever since. But in largely blue-collar China, these white-collar jobs that these students expect just aren't there in big enough numbers. At a local job fair, I met Lei Bingjin. He's been looking for work since August.
Employers are pickier than just a few months ago. They want more experience, better English skills. I want a job in shipping logistics, but the global crisis has hit the export sector hard.
And he doesn't hold a societal trump card, connections to important people. Lei says he wants to work for a multinational company, but they're hardly hiring, so he'll trade down. You hear a lot of that. One graduate sells pork at a food market. Others have joined the military or become nannies. And the very desperate try plastic surgery, says student rapper Fang Meihui.
For ladies, yes, in certain industries, companies want to recruit employees who are beautiful and shapely.
Chinese leaders openly fret about jobless graduates. Disenchanted students led the protests at Tiananmen Square 20 years ago. Today, though, there's little sense of revolt. Most of this generation hasn't even heard of Tiananmen bloodshed. Government censors are working hard. Maybe they're hiring. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
There are technological trade shows getting underway today. While a couple thousand miles separate the cable and wireless industries' shows, they do have a bit in common. They're both in the battle over how you get your media. Here's Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
The National Cable and Telecommunications Association is expecting about 10,000 people in Washington. The Cellular Telecommunications and Internet Association, we'll call that one the wireless event, is expecting more than 30,000, and they're meeting in Vegas. Telecom analyst Jimmy Scheffler says location is metaphor.
The wireless guys are probably ahead of the game in terms of new innovation and risk-taking. The cable industry tends to be a little bit more reticent to take risk.
The two industries are competing over who will deliver digital services like voice, video, and broadband. Cable's trying to hang on to customers who've been going wireless. Brian Dietz is with the group putting on the cable conference.
Many cable companies are looking at mobile as a potential way to assist consumers in taking their content outside the home.
For instance, Time Warner's launching TV Everywhere, a paid service that delivers cable shows online or to mobile devices. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
The UK's Together campaign spends most of its time issuing dire warnings about climate change. But today, its message gets a little foolish. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Caitlin Carroll explains.
Last year, the campaign dubbed April 1st Energy Wasting Day. It introduced the YouTube video featuring Tom Power, a pot-bellied poster child for the anti-eco lifestyle. Tom runs a recyclist in his big car.
Check this out, loser!
And likes to run the dryer to warm up just one garment, his underwear.
Mmm, toasty undercrackers.
The video attracted more than 500,000 viewers to the Together campaign website, and it spawned a Tom Power fan club. Now there are ringtones, T-shirts, and for 2009, a music video. Campaign manager Tom Gribben says humor drums up an audience for the gloomy topic of global warming.
We should try and have a bit of fun, and we should try and make climate change sexy if we can, I suppose.
But Radar Research marketing analyst Marissa Gluck isn't sure if sexy sustains.
So, you know, the question is, can taking this approach lead to longer-term behavioral changes.
Or at least some pocket change for the charity. Tom Power is out with a new music video. The campaign gets a few cents every time it's downloaded. I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
Gauging by the gains we've seen in the last few weeks, Wall Street seems somewhat positive over the Obama administration's moves to kickstart the economy. But what else does the president have up his sleeve? Commentator Robert Rice says he has the inside scoop.
The administration is about to launch a new plan designed both to stimulate the economy and also clean up Wall Street at the same time. The plan consists of a one-time tax credit going to Wall Street executives and traders equal to their individual share of responsibility for the nation's financial collapse. The Congressional Budget Office estimates overall losses from the collapse to be about $7 trillion, but the CBO figures only about 10% of that sum will be claimed by Wall Streeters seeking the tax credits because of the natural reluctance on the part of some executives and traders to take responsibility. That would put the cost of this new program at about $700 billion, roughly the amount the federal government is now paying to bail out the street. The really ingenious part of this plan is to redirect the bailout money to these honest executives and traders who fess up and take responsibility. Get it? They get to clear their consciences, which is a first step to clearing up their balance sheets. At the same time, they get big tax breaks, which will cause them to spend more and thereby stimulate the economy. And the plan doesn't cost taxpayers a dime more than we're already spending on the bailout, since the bailout money will just be redirected to these honest executives and traders. Everybody wins. The one problem I see with the plan is that many Wall Street executives and traders don't pay enough income taxes to take advantage of the tax credit. They either receive earnings in the form of capital gains, taxed at 15%, or they store what they earn in the Netherlands Antilles and other tax havens. The answer is to make the new responsible Wall Street executive and trader tax credit, as it will be called, fully refundable. That way, executives and traders who don't pay enough income taxes to get the full benefit of the credit will be able to collect it anyway in the form of a direct cash subsidy from the federal government. Believe me, this plan will work. Happy April 1st.
We couldn't let this day go by without pulling your leg just a little bit. Our thanks to Robert Rice for cooking up this imaginary plan. He teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Hey, share your thoughts with us. And check out the numbers, too. The Dow down about 1.25% so far today. Marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for joining us. Happy April Fool's Day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.